This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and welcome to the Vinyl Garage. Come along as we explore the lesser-heard world of rock and roll, beginning with its roots in the blues of the 30s, through the R&B of the 50s, to the releases of today that still respect the music from which it came. All the while touching on the history, collectability, and significance of each piece of vinyl. We're about to expand your musical comfort zone, one record at a time.
Gonna tell Aunt Mary Binding a John.
He says he has the blues, but he has a lot of fun. Oh, baby. Yes, baby. Ooh, baby. Having me some fun tonight.
I can do it fast.
Well, no Tom Stanley, she Bill Sweet, you got everything that Uncle John needs. Oh, baby. Yeah.
Some fun tonight, yeah. I saw Uncle John with long, tall Sally. He saw Mary coming and he ducked back in the alley. Oh, baby.
Yes, baby. Woo, baby.
Having me some fun tonight, yeah.
Well, I saw Uncle John with Bowie and Sally.
He saw Mary coming and he ducked back in the alley. Oh, baby.
Yes, baby.
Can we do it again a little slower?
The version of Tutti Frutti we just heard was an embarrassingly condescending representation of what was referred to as whitewashing. The process of covering a song originally written and or first recorded by a black artist, but made famous by a white singer. At first glance, the concept might not seem so bad, but in practice, the original songwriter rarely got fairly compensated, or, in some rare occasions, not at all. Let's start with the previously mentioned Tutti Frutti, written by Richard Penniman, a.k.a. Little Richard, and released on Specialty in 1955. It's the first two covers by Pat Boone and Elvis mentioned here, with Boone's watered-down version being the most significant, due to the fact that it outcharted the original. Before we move on, we need to highlight this embarrassing time period in our nation's history, one of discrimination and exploitation of the minority population, with the music industry no less guilty. Quite frankly, the Little Richards of the world scared adult white America, although his song, because they could make money from it, was all right, as long as they could find an acceptable artist, a white artist, to record it. Add into the story that the majority of all the record companies, their promotion department, and the radio stations they would be played on were all white, Little Richard didn't stand a chance. A tiny bright spot here is that the white kids preferred the original, only playing Boone's when their parents were home. Here's Pat Boone's Tutti Frutti, released on Dot 1955 on 78 and 1956. On 45.
Bop, bop, a loom, bop, a lop, bop, bop, tutti frutti, all Rudy, tutti frutti, all Rudy, tutti frutti, all Rudy, tutti frutti, all Rudy, tutti frutti, all Rudy. Bop, bop, a loom, bop, a bop, bop, I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I've been to the east, I've been to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tutti Frutti, all Rudy. Tutti Frutti, all Rudy. cookie. Yes, sirree. But pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Ooh, Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. A bop, bop, a loom, bop, a lop, bop, bop. Yes, siree, but pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Ooh, Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. A wop, bop, a loom, a lop, and boom.
Boone also covered Fats Domino's Ain't It a Shame. In this case, Boone's version caused Fats to become more popular, giving both a number one. Boone's on the pop charts, and Fats on R&B. Fats, in this case, was properly compensated. There was no indication of malice on Boone's part in regards to either song. It appears he was also exploited by the record company.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my heart when you said we'll part. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain.
Can't be said the part regarding malice about Sam Phillips, Colonel Tom Parker, and the egg-laying golden goose, Elvis. Elvis turned out to be Sun Records founder Sam Phillips's Pat Boone, that being white America's delivery device for black pen songs. The poster child for whitewashing, but to be fair, that's what he was meant to be from the very beginning. Some of Elvis's biggest hits were in this category, but we're starting with a B-side, Don't Be Cruel. Written by Otis Blackwell, Don't Be Cruel went to number one in all three charts. pop, country, and R&B in 1956. He agreed to give up 50% of future potential royalties for the honor of Elvis recording one of his songs. Initial releases listed Blackwell only as composer. Subsequent ones showed Elvis as co-writer. Maybe Elvis knew nothing of what his publishing company was up to. We'll never know. Either way, the Elvis machine wasn't done exploiting Mr. Blackwell. We'll get to that soon. But first, here's his original version of his song. Oh, and by the way, extra proof that Don't Be Cruel belongs in this category. Pat Boone also recorded it.
You know I can't be found. I'm sitting home all alone. If any you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cruel to a heart so true. Maybe if I made you mad, something that I might have said, please let me give you the past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to a heart so true. I don't want no one to love. Baby, it's just you I'm thinking of. Let's walk up to the beach and let us say I do. A little then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to the hearts of you. Why should we be apart? I really love you, baby. Cross my heart. Don't be cruel to a heart of you. Don't be cruel to a heart so true. I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you I'm thinking of. Don't be cruel to a heart so true. Don't be cruel to a heart so true. Why should we be apart? I really love you, baby. Cross my heart.
A side to the previous track, Hound Dog, was also a huge hit for Elvis. The song to date has been recorded 283 times at least, with 9 of them beating Elvis to the recording studio. Written by New York City Brill Buildings Lieber and Stoller, it was first recorded by Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton in 1952, who gave it an R&B feel. Of the aforementioned 9, only 3 took the R&B path, 4 were country, and 2 were in the pop genre. The last being, just prior to Elvis in 1956, was 1955's Freddie Bell and the Bellboys version. Elvis may not have been the first to whitewash Hound Dog, but he had the most success with the song. How much you want to bet he didn't expect the New York professional songwriters to take only 50% royalties. Here's the aforementioned Freddie Bell and the Bellboys. Conspicuously very similar to Mr. Presley's arrangement, released 1 year later.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, now you never caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine. Well, I said you were high class. That was just a lie. They said you were high class. That was just a lie. Well, now you never caught a rabbit. And you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, now you never caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine. We'll be right back.
nothing but a hound dog, hound dog. Crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, now you never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Yes, they said you were high class. That was just a lie. Well, they said you were high class. That was just a lie. Well, now you never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, hound dog. Crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, now you never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
The next big Elvis hit, thanks to Otis Blackwell, was All Shook Up. And once again, Mr. Blackwell gave up 50% of the writer's credit. The song made number one in nearly every chart in almost every country. Here is, once again, Blackwell's version.
Yeah. Oh, well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a forest tree. My friends say I might get the wildest bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up, Well, now please don't ask what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I'm a feeling fine. When I'm near the girl that I love best, my heart beats so it scares me to death. She took my hand, oh, she like hot. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all shook up, feeling fine when I'm near a girl that I love the best. My heart beats so it scares me to death. She touched my hand, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love, I'm all sugar.
Blackwell wasn't just writing for Elvis. He was also responsible for one of Jerry Lee Lewis's biggest hits. In fact, his signature tune, Great Balls of Fire, recorded at Sun Studios in Memphis. Great Balls made it only to number two on the U.S. pop charts, but number one on country and R&B. But Jerry Lee wasn't the only one to record it in November of 1957. when his became the standard, Georgia Gibbs, whose version was buried as a B-side, went unnoticed.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Your kind of love drives a girl insane. You broke my will, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I laughed at love cause I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby, feel so good. Love me like a lover should. You're fine, so fine. I'm gonna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumbs. I feel so nervous, but it sure is fun. You broke my will, ooh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Balls of fire. I'm gonna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I never loved cause I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby. Like a lover should. You're fine, so fine. I'm gonna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumbs. I feel so nervous, but it sure is fun. You broke my will, ooh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Georgia Gibbs began her recording career on Shellac, a 78 RPM in 1947, eventually graduating to LPs and 45s as the technology advanced, singing everything from ballads, jazz, swing, and rock and roll, a rarity that could sing anything, especially R&B. Georgia recorded what could be the first instance of whitewashing in 1955 of the Etta James R&B chart hit Roll With Me Henry, replacing roll with dance and toning down the lyrics for the pop charts, a white audience. Gibbs saw the number one spot on May 14th, 1955. Although listeners of pop radio would more than likely have chosen Etta James' version if they were presented side by side, they sadly would not have had the opportunity. The presence of a black singer on pop radio stations was incredibly rare, pretty much only being Nat King Cole and the Ink Spots. The song included vocal response by a male singer. James's version featured Richard Berry, writer and original singer of Louie Louie, and Gibbs, Thurl Ravenscroft, the voice of Tony the Tiger and the vocalist of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Here's a bit of both.
Hey, baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
You got to roll with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Roll.
Henry,
don't change your mind.
I dance with my Henry.
All right.
wrapping up the one-sided relationship between Otis Blackwell and Elvis with Otis's Return to Sender. Featured in the film Girls, Girls, Girls of 1962, it found number one in the UK, number two in the US, and number five on the R&B charts. Here's a version by Blackwell recorded well after the fact in 1977. Elvis took no writer's credits this time.
I gave a letter to the postman man. He put it in his sack. I bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return to sender, address unknown, no such number, no such zone. We had a quarrel, a lover's spat. Well, I write, I'm sorry, and each letter keeps coming back. Then I dropped it in the mailbox, I send it specially. I bright and early next morning, send it right back to me. She wrote upon it, return to sender, address unknown, no such number, no such zone. This time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her mail. And if it comes back the very next day, then I'll understand
the writing on it,
return to sender, address unknown. Return to sender, address unknown. Well, this time I'm gonna take it myself and put it right in her hand. And if it comes by the very next day, then I'll understand
the writing on it,
to return to sender, return to sender, address unknown. Return to sender, return to sender, return to sender, address unknown. Return to sender, return to sender, return to sender, address unknown.
You're listening to The Vinyl Garage.
I'm walking, yes indeed, I'm talking for you and me, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be, and I've waited for your company, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. What you gonna do when the well runs dry? You're gonna run away and hide. I'm gonna run right by your side. For you, pretty baby, I'd even die. I'm walking, yes indeed, I'm talking for you and me, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. Hang on.
Me. Hey, look, Mama Sugar, you look kind of sweet, cuter than a baby walking down the street. When I look into your eyes, I wanna leap. I can't conceal that you make me feel like a tiger. Smile, drives me on the ground. Wow, I'm feeling stronger than a grizzly bear, soaring like an eagle flying through the air. When I get you in my arms, you better beware. I'm going insane, cause I can't be tame like a tiger. Ooh, like a tiger. Ooh, just to see you smile nearly drives me up on the ground. Wow, you keep my heart jumping like a can, floating like an onion in a bowl of stew. Baby, every time you come, I run like an antelope to get to you. I'm your tiger and you're my mate. Hurry up, buttercup, and don't be late. I might get mad if I have to wait. Come right now, cause I'm on the ground like a tiger. Baby, every time you come with you, I run like an antelope to get to you. I'm your tiger and you're my mate. Hurry up, buttercup, and don't be late. I might get mad if I have to wait. Come right now, cause I'm on the ground like a tiger. Ooh, like a tiger. Ooh, just to see you smile, nearly drive.
Thank you.
1957 saw the release of Fats Domino's I'm Walkin' and its first cover, only 2 months later by Ricky Nelson, who matched Fats' appearance on the pop chart at number 4. Songwriter Ollie Jones, ex-doo-wopper of The Ravens, handed Fabian his most successful single, Tiger, in 1959, a number 3 single. And Chuck Berry, whose Memphis, Tennessee, which was released as a B-side of Back in the USA, didn't chart at all on its own in the US, however finding top 10, strangely enough, in the UK and Ireland in 1959. It was Johnny Rivers' cover that found number 2 in the pop charts in 1963, with the Beach Boys' I Get Around keeping it out of the number 1 spot. But it was rock and roll, specifically and ironically, British rock and roll that paid the American bluesman his or her due, with the Rolling Stones taking point. The Stones' love of Chicago blues culminated in a pilgrimage to 2120 South Michigan Avenue in that city, the home of Chess Records, where, if the story is true, Mick and Company found that label's Muddy Waters busy painting the ceiling of the studio. This was the sorry state of the American bluesman and pretty much anyone of color in 1964. Aside the novelty of having these British kids interested in their music, Chicago bluesmen were thrilled to have the Stones record their songs, not just for the monetary reasons, but for the respect that no one else seemed to domestically give. Here's from the Chess Sessions, Muddy Waters' I Can't Be Satisfied, and the Willie Dixon composition, Little Red Rooster. Rooster was released as a single everywhere but the U.S. As a bright spot, the forward-thinking Los Angeles KRLA included it in its playlist, the winner of 1964 and 65.
Thank you. just can't be satisfied. Just can't keep on crying.
There are two different listings for what is essentially the same song. Good Morning Little Schoolgirl, first written and recorded by Sonny Boy Williamson 1 and released on Bluebird in 1937 as a 78. The dawn of the 60s saw it take two aforementioned paths, the traditional Sonny Boy blues and an R&B rock and roll direction. There wouldn't have been a story here if the writer's credits at that time would have remained with Williamson. But thanks to some updated lyrics, a rock production, writer's credits for the newer version was awarded to Don Level and Bob Love, as found on their Chess Records subsidiary Argo single in 1961. The Yardbirds version of 1964 credits yet another songwriter, Demaris, who is actually D. Maris, a record label owner from Shreveport who happened, not coincidentally, to be friends with Leonard Chess. Illegal, maybe. Sketchy, absolutely. Sonny Boy was denied royalties for any and all versions of his song that was credited to D. Maris. Here's a 1964 Rod Stewart version of Schoolgirl that gives credit to Williamson and the aforementioned Yardbirds offering that paid royalties to Damaris.
Good morning, little school girl. Good morning, little school girl. Can I come home with? Can I come home with you? Tell your mother and your papa I once was a schoolboy too. Sometimes I don't know why. Sometimes I don't know why. Oh, why do the world? Oh, why do the world? Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings or even get mad at you at all.
Similar happened related to the song Parchment Farm. originally released on the OK label as Parchment Farm Blues by Buka White in 1940. The track was changed using a new arrangement and some different lyrics by jazz pianist Mosa Allison, who pretty much took ownership of the track, releasing his version on a 1957 single of the same name, essentially being the one to first whitewash the original. Nearly all covers of the Buka White song, unfortunately, emulate Allison's arrangement, so all subsequent releases credit him, not White. Here's, from 1966, John Mayall's Blues Breakers cover of the song. The Blues Breakers were a who's who of British blues, featuring at one time or another John McVie, Mick Fleetwood, and Peter Green, the soon-to-be Fleetwood Mac, Eric Clapton, Cream's bassist Jack Bruce, drummer Ainsley Dunbar, Keith Hartley, and future Rolling Stone Mick Taylor, among many others. The Parchment Farm is another name for Mississippi State Penitentiary, a place Mr. White spent some quality time.
Well, I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. Ain't never done no man no harm. From that cotton in Limpusack. Ram from that cotton in Limpusack. Ram from that cotton in Limpusack. A 12-gauge shotgun at my back. I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. But I'm sitting over here on Parchment Farm. Ain't never done no man no harm.
Picking up where they left off in their love for the blues, the aforementioned ex-Blues Breakers formed Fleetwood Mac, and right out of the box, recorded for their first single one of the most recognizable blues tracks ever, Dust My Broom, but in this case using the song's original subtitle as the single's name, I Believe My Time Ain't Long. But here's another example of the ownership of a song being fluid. Originally written and recorded by Robert Johnson in 1936, Dust My Broom went on to be covered hundreds of times. But it was the 1951 rendition by Elmore James, with Sonny Boy Williamson II, that the writer's credit changed to James, because of a few changes he made to the original on that Trumpet Record 78. So it all depends on who you ask. Some subsequent releases, usually by blues purists, credit only Johnson. Some James, and even some both. But Fleetwood Mac, depending on the country the single was released, credits James or original guitarist Jeremy Spencer due to the slight changes he made to the song. To make things even more confusing, a small number believe that even Robert Johnson stole it. Here's that initial Mac sing. There's another perfectly good hour of your life spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your good taste. Questions, comments, your undying admiration, or total contempt can be directed at Facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show or vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next time, I'm Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.